So we are reading from 8th Canto, chapter 13, about the different Manus, the progenitors of mankind. We finished with Mohini Murti bewilders the Lord, and now we are on description of future Manus. So several of these verses have no purports, so we will keep going until we reach the verse which does have a purport. And then we will recite the Sanskrit together. Is that all right? Narayanam namaskrityam. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jaya mudirayet. Nashta prayashva abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So, very happy to have His Grace Bhavananda Prabhu here. Bhavananda Prabhu ki! Hari Bol! You are blessing us and gracing us with your presence. Vala Lepa. So thank you all for rising early and coming. We have another special guest, Purnamasi, Hari Bol. And we have Adbhuta Nithai Prabhu, Hare Krishna. And we have our book distributor, Udav Mitra Prabhu, Kijai. So all these glorious devotees have descended from the spiritual world to be with us today. How blessed we are. Hari Bol. Alright, so let's continue our reading. We were on verse 11 yesterday, and we will continue with the 12th verse. Tatra deva sutapaso viraja amrita prabaha tesham virochana suto balir indro bhavishyati. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada, Swami Prabhupada. In the period of the 8th Manu, among the demigods will be the Sutapas, the Virajas, and the Amrita Prabhas. The king of the demigods, Indra, will be Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana. Text 13. Datve mam yachamanaya Vishnaveya padatrayam Radham Indra padam hitva Tata siddhim avapsyati. Translation, Bali Maharaj gave a gift of 3 paces of land to Lord Vishnu. And because of this charity, he lost all the 3 worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. So, yes. So this is the verse that we are going to speak on. So please repeat after me. Datve mam yachamanaya Vishnaveya padatrayam Radham Indra padam hitva Tata Siddhim Avapsyati. We just read the translation, but we'll read it one more time. Bali Maharaj gave a gift of 3 paces of land to Lord Vishnu, and because of this charity, he lost all the 3 worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki! In Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is stated, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Out of many millions of people, one may attempt to to achieve success in life. This success is explained here. Radham Indra Padam Hitva Tata Siddhim Avapsyati. Siddhi consists of achieving the favor of Lord Vishnu and not the Yoga Siddhis. The Yoga Siddhis, Anima, Laghima, Mahima, Prapti, Prakamya, Ishitva, Vashitva and Kama Vasayita, are temporary. The ultimate Siddhi is to achieve the favor of Lord Vishnu. So I offer my humble obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially my senior Vaishnavas, humbly requesting for your blessings that I may be able to carry out the order of my Guru Maharaj to give this class. So here, the ultimate siddhi is to achieve the favor of Lord Vishnu. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. If we look at verse number 1-13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, can we pull that verse up on the board? Is it possible? It will take a long time, doesn't matter. Even if it takes some time, it's worth seeing that verse. It's really a very beautiful verse where it says that ultimately the aim of life must be to please Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. And who is Lord Chaitanya? He is Lord Krishna, who has come in the form of Chaitanya. And how is he pleased? Does anyone know? Does anyone know how Lord Chaitanya becomes pleased? By preaching. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Lord has come to give us the holy name, the congregational chanting of the holy name. Hari Naam Sankirtan Ki. So yesterday evening, we were all on Hari Naam together, isn't it? And what we were doing? We were singing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what is this Hare Krishna Mahamantra that Lord Chaitanya becomes so pleased? Because this is coming from the spiritual world, the gift of love, Radha and Krishna's love coming in the form of the holy names. And so, therefore, no problem. Don't worry about it. Lord Chaitanya will take care of it. So, as I was saying, Lord Chaitanya becomes very pleased because he wants to give the highest of the high. Love. We're all looking for love, isn't it? We're all searching here, there, everywhere. Where is love? Where is happiness? Where is peace? Where is joy? It's right here. By chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why? Because Krishna is love. And Krishna has given us himself in the form of his own name. So the more we chant, the happier we are going to become. The more we chant, the more peace we are going to have. The more we chant, the more we are going to give and receive love. Why? Because we are connecting to the source of all that be, Krishna. And Krishna wants the best for us. He wants us to feel completely loved. And that relationship in which we are completely in love with Krishna is called pure devotional service. So that is the aim of human form of life. Of course, right now, we are not there yet. But we are in the process of reaching that point. Why? Because we are following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, who came down from the spiritual world to teach us how to love God. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, he came to America and he was asked, oh, we have temples, we have churches, we have mosques, we have synagogues, we have religion, we have everything. What have you come here for? And Srila Prabhupada said, I have come to teach you what you have forgotten, how to love God. How will you love someone if you don't even know them? People did not know the name of God. Now we know the name of God is Krishna. The whole world knows the International Society for Krishna Consciousness means the Hare Krishna movement. And Krishna is the name of God. People did not know what does God like to eat. So Srila Prabhupada taught how nicely to make bhog and give to Krishna. Krishna doesn't like meat and fish and eggs and drinks and things like that. So he likes nice milk preparations. He likes nice vegetables and grains and nicely cooked food. And when we offer that to Krishna with fruits and flowers, Krishna becomes pleased. So how to please Krishna? By chanting nicely, by offering nice bhog to him, by dressing him very beautifully. Every day we come to the temple and we see the deity is so beautifully dressed, isn't it? Every day a beautiful fresh garland is offered to Krishna. So when you love someone here in this material world, what do? We buy them flowers, we buy them chocolates, we take them out shopping and buy them clothes and shoes and bags and purses and food and this and that and so on. But when we repose all that love in our eternal relationship with Krishna, everyone is happy, you are happy, Krishna is happy, the whole world is happy. So this is the most important point to understand, where to repose our love. Whom to please? Until we come to Krishna consciousness, what are we trying to do? First we try to please mommy, daddy, then boyfriend, then girlfriend, then husband, then wife, then boss, then super boss. Then we keep searching. Where? Higher. Srila Prabhupada said, the controller of the controller of the controller is Krishna. So please Krishna. Right? But we don't know those things. We are confused. We are bewildered. I remember when I just moved to the US, you know, several years ago, more than 20 years ago, yeah. I was a very confused person. Very confused. You see, I grew up in India. In India, the family is very strong. You know, the person is considered just a very little part of the whole family. And you do what mommy and daddy tell you to do, right? Mommy says do this, you do this. Daddy says do this, you do this. Grandpa says do this, you do this. There's a very strong family system in place, right? So that's how I grew up. You know, you obey your elders, you follow your elders, you listen to your elders, you do what they tell you to do. That's how I was raised. Then I come to America. By Krishna's arrangement, complete opposite. Don't care about parents. Don't care about grandparents. Don't care about anyone. Do whatever you like. Number one, go for it. Me, I'm the boss. I'm number one. I was shocked. You know, the culture shock was tremendous. And I was so confused. What is right? Am I supposed to please my mom and dad? Or am I supposed to go for number one, which is supposed to be me? I wasn't used to thinking like that. So I was a very confused person, and Krishna kindly arranged for me to meet devotees. Still my confusion continued because, you know, they were young and they were also, you know, not really knowing so much. And then my Guru Maharaj came on the campus where I was at Penn State. And I said, oh, somebody is giving a talk. Let me go and attend and see what they have to say. So when I attend the talk, I raised my hand at the end of the lecture. I said, I have a question. I said, I come from this Indian culture where you please your family, you please your mom, you please your dad, you please your elders, you please everyone else. You never think of pleasing yourself. You never even think of yourself. You're meant to please everybody else. And here I come to America, complete opposite. Me, 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 me. Am I supposed to please my parents? Or am I supposed to please myself? And you know what my Guru Maharaj answered? Would you like to know? You'd like to know? Please God. Wow. Finished. All my confusion, all my questioning, all my doubts, all my worries, everything just melted away with those two words. Please God. And that's what we are supposed to do in this human form of life, isn't it? The human form of life is a rare opportunity to become successful. And what is that success? As His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj said, you know, Mukunda Madhav was asking a question, you know, book distribution and this thing and that thing and success and, you know, this person is successful, that person is successful. And Maharaj said, what is that? That's success? Success is seeing Krishna face to face. That is success. So, as it is described here, how many people are looking for that kind of success? Out of millions and millions and millions of people, hardly anyone wants to know about Krishna, and hardly anyone of those perfected beings, hardly one knows me in truth, says Krishna. But there is a way to know Krishna. How do we know Krishna? By pleasing Krishna, by following the orders of the spiritual master and learning from him how to please Krishna. So Krishna, seeing the spirit soul's desire to seek him, sends the spiritual master. And the spiritual master then sends you to Krishna in your heart. So everything you're looking for is right here. We're looking for this, looking for that, looking for this, looking for that, looking for this, looking for that. But it's all inside. It's like the man who traveled all over the world and finally found a treasure in his own backyard. So what we are looking for is right here inside our hearts, because Krishna is there. And the way to go inside is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the more we chant, what is happening? We are purifying ourselves. We are clearing all the anarthas. We are purifying our heart so it becomes a pure place for Krishna to come and perform his pastimes. We don't want all this infection and contamination of lust and anger and greed and illusion and pride and envy and this and that and that and that and that. So many things. So slowly, slowly, slowly we will find ourselves getting rid of all these unnecessary things. What is the meaning of anartha? Means unwanted things. These are not necessary. You might say, what is this, Mataji? Am I supposed to live on love and fresh air? No food, no drink, no nothing, no sense gratification? Of course not. Sense gratification is like salt. We need to have just enough to keep our senses quiet so that we can progress in bhakti. Not too much, not too little. So in the Vedic system, everything is nicely organized so that the jiva soul can progress from brahmacharini or brahmachari ashram to grihastha ashram, from grihastha ashram to vanaprastha ashram, from vanaprastha ashram to sannyasa ashram, and finally become completely detached from this material world and go back home to Krishna. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. Finally, we get to be with Krishna in the spiritual world, which is where we actually belong. We were there many, many millions and zillions of lifetimes ago. We were with Krishna. We have lost our way and here we are, struggling to go back. But the struggle is a joyful one if you take to bhakti yoga. Krishna says, su sukham kartum avyayam. This is a very joyful process. And we saw that yesterday. Harinam Sankirtan. Wasn't everyone joyful? Wasn't everyone happy? Wasn't everyone singing and dancing and clapping and jumping up and down and just having a jolly good time, as we say? Yes? So this is the gift of Krishna, who loves us and wants us to come back to him by giving us a glimpse of love, of joy, of happiness that comes by taking his names, because this is our connection to the spiritual world. So we please Krishna by following the process of bhakti yoga nicely. And what is that process? Chant Hare Krishna. If you are an initiated devotee, chant your 16 rounds every day without fail. Follow the four regulative principles. And according to whatever service your spiritual master has given you, engage in service and make your life perfect. Why not? Yes? We have been given a golden opportunity to make our life perfect. What does it say here in this purport? It says here, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhe. Out of many millions of people, one may attempt to achieve success in life. And this success is explained here. So we are not looking for things that, you know, the karmis, the jnanis and the siddhis are looking for, because they are still looking for power over people or things in this material world. What the siddhis, the yogic siddhis, they will make us lighter than the lightest. We can walk on water. We can get anything from anywhere. We can levitate. We can do so many things. But what is the use of all that? Will that give you love of God? No. It may just make you a very powerful person. And people are known to acquire siddhis and have great power over people. They can hypnotize masses of people into believing they are God. But only God is God. Everyone else is a jiva tattva, a small little jiva soul. So we don't want to waste our time running after liberation, yogic siddhis, things of this material world, because all this is temporary. A person of intelligence wants to go for the permanent. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yehi samsparsha jabhoga. A person who is intelligent and wise does not take part in the sources of misery or the temporary means of happiness, because they have a beginning and an end. So the wise person does not take delight in them. He or she goes for something permanent. We are not interested in the temporary, because everything here in the material world is temporary. Krishna says it is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So everything is temporary, everything is miserable, and it's designed that way. Why is it designed that way? So that you can remember or you can learn that this is not my home. I am not meant to be rotting over here, life after life after life. I am supposed to go back to Krishna. That will be the message. Because when we are young, we don't believe it. We don't think, oh no, I'm going to be happy. I'm the exception to the rule. I can beat it. I can make it. I'm strong. I'm clever. I'm invincible. And then life starts teaching you lessons. And then when you come to Krishna consciousness, you realize Prabhupada is right. The real problems of life are birth, diseases, old age, and death. But we are not meant to die. Our soul is eternal. So we just keep on changing bodies like we change dresses. So how long we want to do this? Purnamasi, how long you want to keep doing this? My guess is not at all, right? Not at all. We are done. We want to go back to Krishna. Because what is the point of taking birth again and again and again and going through kindergarten and school and this and that again and again and again, and a job and then kids and then all the problems that come with that, and then ultimately old age, diseases and death. How many times do we want to do this? By the way, you can stay here as long as you want to. That's your choice. That's our choice. We can stick around here forever and forever. Nothing will stop us. But if we are intelligent, we are going to say, what's the use of doing this over and over again? We're going to say, no, no more. I want to go back to Krishna. How do we go back to Krishna? By pleasing Krishna. Because remember, in the spiritual world, it's all about Krishna. Krishna is the center and everyone there is simply involved in one thing, pleasing Krishna. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. So we want to qualify for that position. To get anywhere, we need to qualify ourselves, right? So we qualify ourselves by engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness, purify our hearts and become ready to be admitted into the spiritual world. Because unless we have the adhikar, unless we have the qualifications, we will not be allowed inside. That door opens only from the inside. We can't gate crash. You know what the meaning of gate crash, right? Gate crashing means you just crash into the party without being invited. Not possible. Not possible to go to the spiritual world by gate crashing. It's entry by invitation only. So we want that invitation, correct? We want that invitation. And we will get that invitation when Krishna is pleased. And how will Krishna be pleased? When the spiritual master is pleased. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya prasadan na gati kutopi dhyayanstuvam stasya yashasri sandhyam vande guru shri charanaravindam. The very last line we sing every day, right? Gurvashtakam. What do we sing? When the spiritual master is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. By not pleasing the spiritual master, Krishna will not be pleased. So we must follow nicely the words, the instructions and the guidance of the spiritual master. Because we don't know how to please Krishna, but the spiritual master knows exactly what is to be done to please Krishna. And he takes our impure devotional service, which is mixed with all our karma, mishra, as is karma, mishra, bhakti right now. And then he purifies it and offers it to Krishna. And when Krishna becomes very pleased, we will gain entrance into the spiritual world. Yes, it's possible. You might say, really, is this possible? Yes, it's possible. In fact, I want to share with you, I don't know how many people have heard of Janaki Nath Prabhu. He was my godbrother. Okay, Uddhav Mitra Prabhu knows about him. He was such a special soul. He was very young, only 36 years old, but he had a very successful and glorious life in that short 36 years. You want to hear about him? Yes? Okay. So, Janaki Nath Prabhu was this young brahmachari in the United Kingdom. He was of Indian parentage, Indian background. And he joined maybe about 10 years or so before he quit his body. But he was such a special soul. And so Krishna arranged for him to come back to the spiritual world by giving him what he called a gift. Do you know what was that gift? Do you know? That gift was cancer. Now you might say, gift of cancer. No one wants such a gift, right? But Janaki Nath took it as a gift. And all the time, Janaki Nath was jolly, was smiling, was preaching while going through chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and swallowing 30 pills a day, he had an oceanic smile on his face and he was always preaching. In fact, in the last hours of his life, he was preaching to the nurse. He showed her his TED talk and he said, "Now I want you to listen to this and I want you to tell me what you learned from this." And so she listened to that 15-minute TED talk and she came back and she said, "I learned it's important to associate with devotees." He said, "Very good. Go to Bhaktivedanta Manor. That's where you'll find them." And one of his last photographs, as he's being wheeled into that operation theater, he actually went in for a blood transfusion. He has a big smile on his face and a thumbs up like this. That's one of the last photographs that was taken of him. So till the end, he was in great spirits. Why? Because he was in touch with Krishna. He was not of this material world because he had perfected his human form of life by constantly being immersed in Krishna. And so he was able to rise above the problems of his physical body, because ultimately this body is just a shell. It's just a covering. It's not you. So he had reached the point of the soul, ever blissful, ever joyful, and ever giving. Janakinath didn't have one grain of jealousy or enviousness or negativity towards anyone. Thousands of people came in touch with him and were so positively transformed by this man's unfailing goodness. He just oozed goodness and love towards everyone. Even strangers were moved by how loving and kind he was towards them. He was epitomizing the best of the best of bhakti yoga, giving Krishna consciousness to others all the time. And he was just a little brahmachari. And when he quit his body, devotees from all over the world came together to glorify his life because he had perfected it. And he went back home, back to Krishna. And even after he had gone, if you looked at his face, his body, there was a smile on his face. Even in death, he was smiling. So, we should not think this is something, you know, it was possible in Prabhupada's time, it was possible 5,000 years ago, it's not possible for us. No! This process still works. And it will work because it's given by Krishna. So no matter what the obstacles, what the challenges, what the difficulties, we can take courage from the example of Janakinath. If he, with cancer ravaging his body, he had so many abdominal surgeries because he had cancer of the intestine to begin with, then it spread to the liver, and so many things were happening. He went through so much pain, but he was never ever out of touch with Krishna. He was always giving Krishna in spite of everything to others. In fact, after his surgery, one of my god sisters went to visit him, you know, she and her husband, and they were looking, he's supposed to be on the bed, where is he? He had taken off and he had gone and he was preaching to the other patients, to the nurses, to the doctors, to everyone in the ward. He used that to make a difference in the lives of others. And in fact, because of him, many, many patients in the cancer ward came to Bhaktivedanta Manor and had a whole day's spiritual retreat in Bhaktivedanta Manor because of him. Several of them gave up their body a very short time after that, but they got to see Radha Gokula Nanda. They got to see Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman. They got to see the beautiful mood of devotion and service at the manor. Most important, they got to hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So never doubt that you will not be able to make it. You will, provided you are determined. Then Krishna will send all the help we need. I used to call Janakinath our very own Johnny Ananda. You know who is Johnny Ananda? He's our Jayananda, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, who was very much like our Janakinath. Always jolly and always involved in service. Now, Jayananda was very young and he also developed a severe form of leukemia. And he gave up his body before Srila Prabhupada left the planet. But there was another example for us. Always jolly, always serving, and always positive, no matter what. He was the person who started the first Rath Yatra in Los Angeles, following the guidance and instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, on every Rath Yatra card, we will have the picture of Jayananda. So now wherever you go in the world, if you are attending Rath Yatra, you will see a picture of Jayananda. So these are great examples for us. Jayananda in Srila Prabhupada's time and Janakinath Prabhu for now. So like this, there are many stalwart devotees who are showing us that by following the spiritual master, by taking the instructions seriously, and by making a very determined effort to please Krishna, we can go back to Krishna. So why not try? Let's do our best, and Krishna will do the rest. Right? And how do we please Krishna? Once again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So easy, isn't it? So easy. Just sing, dance, take prasadam, engage in service, read the scriptures, make your life successful, and help others make their life successful. So important. Yare dekha tare kaha, Krishna upadesh. Very simple. Just give Krishna to others. Whatever little bit you can do, do that to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, make your life successful, go back home, where we belong. That's our home. Yes? How many of us want to try? Raise your hands. Very good, Haribol. More power to you. So thank you all very much for listening patiently to this class. We will open up for comments, questions, corrections, realizations. Yes, Sadbhuj Prabhu.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
About love that we can experience when we chant Hare Krishna. That is a question. Different person define love in different ways and expect love in different ways. So I mean, according to my experience, we have during the chanting experience gratitude, bliss, kind, what we call it, happiness inside, peace in heart. But how to explain or experience love from Krishna? And part of it, if we don't experience love, what's wrong?
Well, it's a process. It's a process. It's not like this, you know? Because we have been associating with material energy for so long, it will take some time for us to uncover all those layers that we have around our heart, around the soul actually. Because dormant love is there in the soul, in the heart of every living entity, What to speak of the human form of life? An insect, a reptile, a bird, a fish, a tree, everyone has dormant love of Krishna, but it's covered over. So this uncovering process is this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And slowly, 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 we will reach that point where we are fully in love with Krishna. And that doesn't mean you cannot love others because you are loving Krishna. On the other hand, the more and more Krishna conscious we become, the more and more we are capable of loving others because we are seeing them as part and parcel of Krishna. So it's a process. It's not something instantaneous, though rarely that can happen by the mercy of the spiritual master. In general, all of us have a slow process of purification. Gradually, we go step by step forward. Bhajana Kriya is the third stage. Then Anartha Nivritti. Then Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava and Prema. So, does that mean that I'm not fully Krishna conscious, I cannot love anyone? No. Love is natural. It's a natural sentiment. It's a natural feeling. We love our children, we love our parents, we love our spouse, we love our brothers and sisters and uncles and aunties and everyone, right? So that is the nature of the soul, is to give and receive love. So it's natural to have affection. You can't take that. That's a symptom of life, to have affection. Yes, we have affection for one another, and that's natural. What we are saying is that when you fully uncover all that love that is actually there, you will be capable of loving everyone and receive love from everyone. So we want to reach that point where we are fully Krishna conscious, because then we will not have any barriers and we will not have any distinguishing. I will only love my family, but I will not look at my neighbor. I will only love the human race, but I won't care about the trees and the plants and the animals. Not like that. Vaishnav cares for every living entity. Srila Prabhupada, you want to hear an incident of Srila Prabhupada's love? Would you like to hear? He was writing something on his desk, and he was looking. And then he called Naranara and Rishi. He said, Naranara and Rishi, come here. Do you see that ant? And Naranara and Rishi couldn't really see anything. He said, if I say yes, I'll be telling a lie. If I say no, Srila Prabhupada will say, what, you're not seeing this ant? So he said nothing. So then Srila Prabhupada said, you see this ant? Our duty is to help this ant become Krishna conscious. You see how much love Srila Prabhupada had for that little jiva soul in the ant. So this is love. Because Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, he cared for every little living entity. Every little living entity. Once some bug or some caterpillar or butterfly, something had gotten to the temple room, and Srila Prabhupada noticed, he's saying, please take that bug and put it on the leaf outside, because that's its food. It'll starve over here in the temple room. You see? So, love means understanding that every soul is part and parcel of Krishna and deserves to be loved. That's a very big concept. Our brains cannot wrap around it yet. But don't worry, keep going. I'm preaching to myself here actually. But I hope that helps.
Thank you. One more topic that is interesting for me about chanting. What is maybe, let us say, your experience, how we can chant for with attitude for Krishna's pleasure? Because there is so many attitudes, spiritual desire, material desire. We always expect some reciprocation from Krishna when we chant, how to chant for Krishna's pleasure.
Yes, Krishna is reciprocating with us even though we don't see it, And even though we may not feel it, we may not understand it, Krishna is reciprocating all the time with our desire to please him. So what should be the attitude of the chanter when he or she is chanting? The attitude is, I want to please Krishna by chanting nicely, with attention, with devotion, with a genuine desire to serve him. The mantra itself means what? Please engage me in your devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says it's like a cry of the child for the mother. So Krishna wants us to really focus and pay attention, because then he knows we are serious. If we are inattentive, distracted, lazy, indifferent, Krishna says, all right, I think this person doesn't really want me. I'll come back later when they're serious. So our attitude must be very serious and very sincere in trying to do that activity to please Krishna. So that should be our attitude. This is what I've heard from the authorities. I myself have to practice it now. I'm not saying I'm there yet. I'm also in the shower. I'm also getting clean.
If nobody...
Anybody else has any other questions or comments? If you have another question, that's
about,
fine.
About Janakinath Prabhu.
Janakinath Prabhu.
Janakinath Prabhu. Disciples of Kadamba Kanana Maharaj share between each other audio lecture that Kadamba Kanana Maharaj gave to him, sent to him. Mm-hmm. So I thought personally he is disciple of Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. Mm. So what I can ask you about that all audio lecture was about my dear Janakinath Prabhu. Look forward, don't look back, because he whole life dedicated to the service. He was brahmachari, and he, when you are serious brahmachari, devotee forgot about material life completely. Mm-hmm. So Maharaj told him, you didn't miss anything, you didn't lose anything. So maybe you can give some commentary on that. There is so many things that's supposed to be attractive in material way of life. So many business, so many loves, so many hobbies, so many interesting adventures, travelings. How devotee real can say you didn't miss anything in this material way of life?
Yeah, this is a very profound realization that Kadamba Kanana Maharaj gave him, because he had acquired all that sukriti to qualify to go back to the spiritual world. So what Kadamba Kanana Maharaj was encouraging him, don't think, oh, you died a young man, you missed out on, you know, maybe grihastha life, or you didn't have get married, you didn't have kids, you didn't have grandkids, you didn't live to a ripe old age. Things like that, that people sometimes lament over. Because maybe he had done this in hundreds of previous lifetimes. Maybe he had finished with all this, you know, longings and desires and attachments and so on. And he was ready to go back to Krishna. That was pretty obvious actually. In fact, when, you know, he was a brahmachari, and in the early stages, I think someone asked him, do you want to continue with brahmachari life? Or do you want to get married? Because, you know, you're going through a tough time. It would be nice to have some companion. And he said, no, I want to continue with my brahmachari life. I want to go back to Krishna. So some of us, you know, may be ready to go back to Krishna. If you're materially exhausted, then you're ready to go to Krishna because you don't want to have any more dealings with the world. But all of us may not be at that point. So Krishna kindly makes the various grihastha ashram, you know, just for those who of us who still have that desire to have an attachment, to fulfill our desires for children and so on. So Krishna gives such a nice process so that we can go through the stages of life and finally you know, reach the point where we slowly get more and more detached, because as we are practicing grihastha life, which means it's a process of purification. So we understand that Krishna is purifying me through all these different things. Because remember, no ashram is easy. No ashram is easy. Easy life and Krishna consciousness do not go together. So if you're brahmachari, or you're grihastha, or you're vanaprastha, or you're sannyas, tests will come. Challenges will come at every stage. So nobody is exempt. So we're all trying. We're all trying to purify ourselves. It's a process. And some of us may be strong enough to be just brahmachari or brahmacharinis. And I know there are some ladies also like that. They are not interested in grihastha ashram. There are men like that, not interested in grihastha ashram. They want to remain brahmacharis. They are satisfied with their service. They are satisfied with association of devotees. They are satisfied to fulfill the orders of their spiritual master. They don't have any particular longings or desires. So for them it works. But for us, maybe we wanted to have grihastha life, and so Krishna allows for those of us who want to be in grihastha life to go through that too. So all these processes are there for our purification, and because Krishna is very kind, he makes the arrangements so that any way we can make progress, whether it's this ashram or that ashram. It doesn't really matter. We just follow the principles of every ashram to make progress nicely. Now don't think grihastha ashram is a fall down. Because in the olden days, people were condemning grihastha ashram like that. It's not like that. Grihastha ashram is also glorified in the scriptures. If we do our grihastha ashram nicely, we will reach vanaprastha ashram and then sannyasa ashram, we will be free. But if we don't do it the way Krishna wants, then we are in trouble because we will get entangled. You see? So even in grihastha ashram, what are the rules and regulations there for? To protect us. It's not grihastha ashram is free for all, do what you like. It's a very strict rules and regulations for following grihastha ashram. So as long as we are following the process, we will make progress. So you don't have to worry. Which ashram, which way, what to do, how to do. Your spiritual master is there to guide you nicely so that you can be situated in the best possible ashram. For some people, it's not a good idea to enter grihastha ashram. And your spiritual master will tell you. I know some ladies who have been told by their spiritual master not to get married. Why? Because it's not going to work. They have some, anyway, I don't want to go into details. It's not important. But, you know, it's going to be detrimental. They're very weak in health. They're not going to be able to sustain the rigors of grihastha life. Remember, grihastha ashram is an ashram of responsibility. There's a lot of hard work involved in maintaining a griha. Srila Prabhupada said, a man should think 100 times before he gets married. Which means a woman too. Because we have to be prepared then to sacrifice, to get over our false ego, to become a true servant. The role of a husband or a wife is ultimately a servant. We are here to serve the other person. We are here to serve our dependents. So that's how we purify ourselves, even in grihastha ashram. Is that all right? Yes. Okay. Any other questions, comments, corrections? Okay. Nothing at all, huh? Thank you. Hare Krishna.